Games from the Front presents a World War Cthulhu campaign. All right, gents, welcome. So we've got the four players and me, Keeper. So Kyle's joining us tonight for the first time. Kyle, thanks for hanging on throughout these.
Yeah, it only took me 2 months or 3 months to create my character.
Well, it's just okay. The scenario took about twice as long as I expected, so I said, this will be about three sessions. And it was, I don't know, seven or eight or something. I can't remember.
You forgot.
I can't remember.
That we're mentally retarded.
Special needs.
We're
group.
Waiting to be impressed, Kyle. Waiting to be impressed. Yeah. No pressure.
Kyle's been practicing.
It's too late. The character's already been created. So if you're going to be disappointed, it's baked in.
It's going to be amazing. All right, and so to start this off, Kyle has to wait a little bit while we catch up on some of our character advancement, which we
so no pressure,
kind of rushed away.
This is super interesting.
So, you guys, let's see, who do we've got? We've got I better keep track of Eric's stuff here too. So Robert and Hugh and Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, last time we were playing, you guys beat up the baddie, took her down, saved the world. Fantastic, right? So, First of all, because of all your exposure to the floating fireballs and Aurora Williams and her crazy, nasty spell type activity, you guys all gain +4% Cthulhu Mythos. And I think
where is that? Mythos.
You're all down Cthulhu. Towards zero, I think.
I was up zero. So
yeah,
four
you should
now.
All be at 4% now, right? And this just represents kind of insight into this otherworldly, the unknown has started to reveal itself to you, and this is your first kind of exposure beyond what you saw at Vlissingen several months ago. We're gonna play out the next couple scenes. We wrapped up the last session September 1940, and you have a couple months of recovery and learning and study and training and things like that. So yeah, take the +4% Cthulhu Mythos. One of the tough things about doing this online is it's hard to remember to remind people, and I can't tell how vigilant you've been about checking your skills.
I was good. I was good.
Doing it.
Oh, okay. Yep. Great. Fantastic. So if you remember the mechanics for doing your skill checks, and if you forget, raise your voice, and I've got a reminder for you.
My hand is raised.
Okay.
My hand is raised as well.
I know I have to...
So you're gonna roll.
Doc, that's not your hand.
just accept it.
You're gonna roll D100 versus each of your checked skills.
Okay.
And if you roll, if you roll over the current value of your skill, you're gonna add a D10 to that skill value. So basically, the higher your skill, the harder it is to improve.
Right. This is the only time you want to roll high, really.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
And as you go along, you can unerase those checks that you've made.
So if you do get it, then it's a D10 value.
Yeah, D10 plus D10 to your current value. Yep.
All right. Guess I should roll some of these dice I have in my hand.
Oh my god!
I told you I was coming back to play for
back
keeps.
I improved my listen skill.
Of course.
I also improved my German. Ooh,
I improved my firearm skill. Nice. Let's go to 10. Ooh, by 9. Look at that. 75 and 4.
Ooh.
So ironically, the only thing I'm improving apparently is my fight.
Well, I was so low to begin with, right?
It couldn't have gotten any worse.
Exactly.
If screaming and panic-stricken German was a skill, though, you'd be way up there.
Well, I mean, I've already maxed that out, so
that's pretty really, much, yeah.
I would just be going for bonus dice at this point.
If you roll a D10, is a zero for the increase? Is a zero a zero or a 10?
It's a 10.
Ooh, nice.
Sweet.
I just went up 10 on my spot hidden.
On a D10 is a 1, a 1, or an 11?
oh, it's a 1. It is, in fact, a 1.
Damn. Yeah. Did Oliver pick up any skill checks in the last session when I wasn't here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I was so disappointed. You missed one session, which was like I was looking forward to for weeks because it would have been the quintessential Oliver role. It was a combined astronomy occult role, and you,
nice.
And you passed. So you can check both those off.
Nice. Wow. Okay, excellent.
Yeah. Excellent. He figured out something to do with Fomalhaut, which is a star, and its sequence that went along with when Aurora was doing some of the summoning.
Whether that's true or not, that is awesome GMing to get the guy who wasn't in the session to say, oh, man, it was like your dream session. But next time, come back. You know?
I'm impressed. I think it's great GMing. I sense your sarcasm, Rex. I doubled down with seriousness. taunting is very appropriate. How about luck? We got to get luck back somehow, man.
Yeah, but not with this mechanic. Luck.
Now, what about our sanity? What do we do with that?
Yeah, so focus on the skills for now. We'll get to sanity in a moment. Okay. Let me know when you're all done with your skills.
I'm all done.
Okay.
He was done.
And did anybody have...
And I am done.
You're done. Okay. Did anybody have a skill that was previously below 90% and then went above 90%?
I was close, but no.
But no. Yeah, it should be pretty rare, but... Yeah. Yeah, if you do that, you have a warm glow of accomplishment and get some sanity back, but it doesn't sound like...
Oh.
Warm glow. That's the case. All right. So speaking of sanity, accomplishing the heroic feats that you did, you all gain 1d6 sanity back. And sanity itself doesn't have a maximum value, or I should say maximum starting value, except it could be no higher than than 99 minus your Cthulhu, your mythos, what is it? Cthulhu mythos rating. So would be 95. Can't be higher than 95.
So the more you learn about Cthulhu, the less sane you become.
Exactly.
Right.
So here's a question.
Sure.
I gained 1 sanity back based on my role.
Okay.
My original sanity was 65 when I created the character. Now I'm at 62 after my 1 improvement. Should I keep a note of where my original sanity was, or is that just out the window now?
It's pretty much
it's the same as the power.
Pretty much out the
it's
window.
It's pretty much out the
yeah.
window. So I'll just...
Yeah.
Erase that.
Though. Yeah, it's kind of a running.
And did I take any sanity damage in the last session?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
We were pretty nice to you.
Yeah. Although I did suggest that we have you charged naked at one point. But
that's true.
Yeah.
I was voted down.
As long as I was screaming in German, I'm perfectly fine with that.
That was the whole point.
Yeah.
Our hit points are back to where they were, I assume.
Yeah, so we recovered sanity. So everybody did their sanity check?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I got 3.
So, yes, you're...
Can it go above where you started?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, you guys were pretty, I don't know if you call it fortunate or whatever, but I don't think you guys took too many sanity hits. You passed a lot of your sanity checks throughout the session.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, yes, through a combination of hospital stays and proper treatment and things like that, and rest and recovery, you are all back to your original hit points. However, Hugh, if you might remember, you were basically blasted in the chest by one of those fireball creatures.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I was unconscious. I was down to 0.
Yes. So I need you to make a luck roll, please.
A luck roll. Okay.
And I'm going to roll for Eric, who was also... I'm going to roll for Eric, who was also hit. And where is Eric's character sheet? And his skill is... Oh, no. So he fails as well.
I failed quite badly,
right.
Yes.
You each are going to lose 1d10 from your appearance. from
but I'm so good looking.
From scarring and fire damage.
Where's my appearance?
You look like Deadpool. Way to go.
Yeah.
That's right. I was ridiculously good looking before. 1d10. Okay. Zero is a zero, right?
In this case, zero is a 10.
A 10.
Sorry.
Ooh. So like you were saying, zero is a zero. Great.
I'm going to leave a mark.
Oh, no.
And if you want, on the back of your character sheet, there is a section for injuries and scars. If you wanted to make a note of your crispy flesh, probably around your upper chest area that perhaps peeks out from under your formal shirt from time to time.
Formal shirt.
You're still a 65. You're still handsome, but you know,
not devastatingly so.
The
anymore.
Ladies get a little too close, and who knows what
it'll
may
be
happen.
Like.
Good old ugly Robert's going to cozy up to you and say, "Hey, it's not so bad, buddy."
Yeah.
Exactly.
And for what it's worth, Eric lost 3 points, so he fancies himself to be a ladies' man, but that's not going to help him in the appearance category. All right, so yeah, we wrapped up the last session. It was early September. The air raid on London had just started. Just for background on the war, over the next couple months, middle of September 1940, the Italians invade Egypt. September, the air raids across England and London in particular ramp up. There's bombing in London, Southampton, Bristol, Liverpool, Manchester. End of September, Germany, Italy, and Japan sign their Axis tripartite agreement. October, German troops enter Romania. Italy invades Greece. November, Germans continue to bomb Coventry, England. November, Hungary joins the Axis powers. Late November, Greeks defeat the Italian Ninth Army. And where'd that go? Let's see here. December, the British begin a Western Desert Offensive in North Africa against the Italians. And to end the year, there are massive German air raids continued in London. And of course, your time in London is marked very much by the bombing activity. I've put a whole bunch of pictures in the Google Doc to give you a sense of what's going on. You see people walking around with gas masks, death, destruction. But in some way, life continues on in London. Right, stiff upper lip and all that, carry on. What they making do with what you can, make do and mend. But definitely England and London in particular is on war footing. And about a couple weeks into this time of recovery, N summons Robert and Oliver to his office.
Uh-oh.
And you
trouble.
Who knows?
He was too ugly.
Perhaps Oliver was working and doing some research. Robert was keeping to himself, perhaps practicing his demolitions, reading up on his latest demolition skills.
Cool.
And you guys managed to arrive at N's office at Trafalgar Square. And as you arrive, you might remember Major Bothroyd, who was one of your early contacts and liaisons between the military and Network N. And you actually see him leaving, and he, you know, gentlemen, good day, and he makes his way out. So, you know, he still has some involvement with N, and you hear the by now familiar, "Come forth!" from N's office, summon you into his inner sanctum.
Is this going to be our first debrief after the throwdown?
Yeah, let me think here. So it's, let's call it the middle, late September. You haven't had a formal debriefing by N. You've talked to Reggie a little bit, about some of what was going on. He's probably been your primary contact as far as getting up to speed on or getting him up to speed.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is probably going to end up being your first extended period of time with N since the incidents at the docks.
Okay.
Okie doke.
So you're going to head on in?
Of course.
Okay.
Yep.
And you might...
I'll check, see if he's got any new books that I didn't... I found them before.
Yeah, and you might remember the seating in his office is limited, but there are two chairs, and so he motions, gentlemen, come in. Please have a seat. Enough seats for both of you.
Uh-huh. I'll sit down.
I will sit down as well. Yeah,
and Oliver, as perhaps you had anticipated, there in fact looks to be a familiar book on his desk, and... I can't remember who was carrying it or what you remember, but between the two of you, you give a knowing look as you see the Book of All Forbidden Arts sitting on his desk. And you might remember that was the tome that was secured from Williams's bedroom when you guys kind of invaded her home. And so you know something's up. As you sit, N comes from around the desk and says, "Gentlemen, good to see you are recovering. I hope all is well. As you can tell, London is under great duress, but our battle against the other enemy goes on. And I have special need for your skills. And I'm not sure if you're up to the task, to be honest with you. This task is perhaps dangerous, but perhaps enlightening as it feeds into our capabilities to fight against, again, that our other enemy. I was fascinated by this find that you brought to me. This book contains troubling information, but perhaps valuable to us in our fight against the other enemy, and I think that perhaps one of you may be better suited to investigating this information a little bit further. In particular, I need someone who is steeped in the German language and is steeped in knowledge of the occult, as this particular volume is written in German and clearly has, at least on the surface, a lot of information about the occult. But there's more here to be learned, and I need someone with the wherewithal to stay with us and dive deep into this and study it and report back whatever they find in this volume. Based on your training and your backgrounds, I believe that either one of you are suited for this task, but I'll leave it up to you as who amongst the two of you is perhaps better suited either intellectually, mentally, or has the fortitude to see this to the end.
I'm going to ask, is there a reason we both can't work on it, sir?
Well, obviously there's only one copy of the book. Perhaps you could. It might shorten the time that it would take to study this if you were to go through it together. Certainly it's something worth exploring. I'll leave it to you to decide. Perhaps it depends on, first of all, your ability to work together in the first place. And second of all, if your skills are needed elsewhere during this time. I would expect several weeks of study before any in-depth information is turned up. But it's certainly up to you to decide if that's something you'd like to do.
Well,
my specialty or my focus in German was actually screaming in German. And so if this was all fonts or all caps, then this is definitely the book for me. So otherwise, we probably need Robert to help out a little bit. So,
yeah. The only thing I would say is I'm more than willing to let you take the lead, Oliver, because
you'd like to
I
see me go insane
for other things. Given the skill level of the other members of our little group. But I would be more than willing to assist you should you need it for German translations, or and I could also help with the occult. But why don't you take the lead and I'll be your consultant?
Certainly. Certainly. That sounds fair.
Fantastic.
And is there any chance that, speaking of enlightenment, you could maybe give us just some broader sense of what it is that we've actually stumbled upon? You keep referring to the other enemy, but just don't know what you mean by that.
Sure. Well,
although I have some fears.
Our other enemy takes many forms. Certainly what you were exposed to over the last couple weeks, last week or so, is perhaps the strongest indication we've seen yet of our other enemy here at the homeland. So basically, we do expect that additional answers will be found within this tome, and that's why we think that we're putting some of the strongest minds in the section, in the network, on it. Having said that, though, we have agents throughout the European theater and elsewhere who have started to report back stronger and stronger indications of increased activity taking various forms of what we've been calling the other enemy. Things that perhaps that you've experienced and seen, things wholly unseen by human eyes before, and all in all far more dangerous than the death and destruction that we see around us from conventional means. So as you gain experience, we'll be sending you into more and more dangerous situations, and hopefully you will help turn the tide against not only our Axis enemies, but also the unseen and unknown. And that's why we need the smartest minds on this.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate the compliment.
Well, you've proven yourself so far. I know you won't fail me, but make no mistake about it. This work is dangerous. The other enemy is crafty, devious, and in some ways unconcerned with human endeavors, which makes them all the more dangerous. All right, and with that,
well,
he shoos you off. Off with you, and good luck. Once you find out anything, report back as soon as possible.
All right.
So let's we'll cut to kind of the game mechanics of what's going to happen with these types of books. There's a couple different stages of what happens. There's first of all what's called the initial reading. Which can take anywhere from a couple hours to a couple days. And depending on the contents of the book and the way that it's set up, it may require certain roles against some skills. And then after that initial read period, you'll get obviously a sense on perhaps what is in the book. And then from there you get to decide if you want to continue with further study. Okay, so Robert and Oliver, give me a sense of where you'd like to conduct your research, conduct your study, and consider, you know, maybe I can give you a little bit of a description about this book. This is Das Buch aller Verbotene Kunst, The Book of All Forbidden Arts by Johann Hartlieb. Published in 1456. So this is a very ancient tome. It certainly shows its age. It's a leather-bound book. It's about 8 inches by 6 inches in size. There's a hubbed spine. And if I can pull it up.
What's it called again? The Book of All Dark Arts?
All Forbidden Knowledge. All Forbidden Arts. Knowledge. I'm sorry. Here, I'll give you a little help there.
There we go.
Yeah.
Get me to it. Okay.
So, yeah, so you can see a bit what it looks like. Again, it's not very large. It's not too large. There's a gold leaf coat of arms that is long worn away. There's a leather strap that holds it closed. And upon initial opening, and you may have seen this a little bit before when you guys initially grabbed it. Again, I can't remember who was carrying what, but you did get a little bit of information about it from before. But most of the information came from Aurora's journal. The interior text is handwritten in flowing black script in German. Paragraphs at the start of each section have large written letters that are in red ink with large capital letters. There's about 24 lines of text, and the book is approximately 160 pages in length. There's no illustrations and only text, and that's the main body of the work. But you can see you can see additional handwriting in the margins. That's also in German. It's much harder to read, and is in certainly in a different handwriting than the main body text is in. So that's kind of your initial flip through it that you pick up, and it's up to you if you want to spend a couple hours, a couple days reading it for the initial read, and you can expect to make a German roll against it to be able to read it properly.
Okay. Well, before we get deep into it, you know, Robert, I've been thinking, it seems like we're onto something, and I'm not sure we can trust anyone other than the people on this team. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we've arrived at the point where maybe we need a location.
Secret hideout?
That super we know.
Safe house.
Safe house, exactly. A place that where this type of book could be kept. I had a thought of taking it with me to one of the libraries that has a large volume of occult books, but I'm just worried that taking this out when we don't know who's out there and what they know could be dangerous. So,
well,
I think we ought to somewhere safe.
Like a good idea. The person who probably has the most odds of owning random properties would be Hugh. So we could go ask him.
Assuming he's not so grief stricken over his appearance. That's
just keep staring at the mirror. Can't take it anymore.
No more, low cut louses.
Well, we could certainly head off to Surrey, which isn't too far away, just the county south of London, and to the family estate, and certainly set up there and be private. My father will be quite will give us our room and won't ask any questions.
Sounds reasonable.
Do you trust everyone that works there?
Oh yes, absolutely. The staff. The staff will obey orders, and they'll just, you know, when we tell them to stay out of this area, they'll stay out of the area.
All right. We've got a safe house.
There we go.
Nice. Fantastic. Okay. So, after making these arrangements, you find yourself in Surrey at the, Warner Smith, estate. You said it was your father's, Hugh?
Yes.
Okay. And, there's some lodging there and, certainly enough room for you to set up shop. And, would you like the guys kind of dive in on the research?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't both of you make a German roll?
The rest of us will go fox hunting.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead and make a German roll.
Okay. I got an extreme success.
Well, I have a regular success.
Okay. So you guys spend, let's say, a day and a half kind of taking turns. That the reading is quite difficult in terms of it's not only is it in a foreign language, although you're both quite studied in it, but it's written in kind of an ancient manner. And even more so than what we're talking 500 years ago that the book was published or so. I mean, it feels even older than that in terms of the diction and the way that the words are coming together. Robert in particular, struggles, trying to make the way through the pages. But fortunately, Oliver is able to pick up the slack from time to time and ends up dictating some of the notes and information back to Robert to take notes. And as you peruse it over the day and a half or so, as you kind of dive deep into it over a day and a half, kind of story and connection comes together about what you've just experienced with Aurora Williams. You start to come across some names that you've either heard before or start to make sense. I'm going to type in some of these. Cthuga. Let's see. C-T-H-G-H-A. And God damn these guys. Thaguga. Thaguga. I should have practiced this beforehand. Thaguga. So you start to get a sense and a connection between these two entities. Thaguga was one that you saw quoted or mentioned in some of Aurora's journal. And from your readings, you get the sense that somehow Thaguga is some sort of herald or servant to Thuga. So the this one is the herald. And this one is some sort of deity, right? The text also makes mention of fire demons, and that's actually the term that it uses. And you quickly make the connection that these fire demons are those balls of fire that you saw many times throughout your recent adventure. And the connection there is between the Lord or the deity, the herald, and these fire demons, which kind of serve as some sort of servants to both of these powerful entities. Thuga, the deity, is said to traverse the universe on a comet, setting worlds ablaze in its wake.
Comet, you say?
A comet, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, there you go. Astronomy guy. Astrology. Were you astronomy? Astronomy. Yep.
Astronomy.
Yep.
Astrology. Definitely astrology.
And you also pick up some sort of information that says that Thaguga is able to transform living beings into these fire demons. And as you kind of follow that thread a little bit more, you start to come across discussions about various rites and practices that talk about these transformations and other rites and practices that are quite interesting and maybe perhaps interesting to N. Okay. So that you pick up the story, you pick up a little bit about these practices and about these entities. And from that, first of all, each of you gain +3 mythos, Cthulhu mythos.
I's cooking with right. gas now.
Mm-hmm. And this otherworldly knowledge startles you and kind of rattles you to your bones.
Uh-oh.
And you each take 1d8 sand loss.
Oh. Aha.
Of course.
Everything comes with a cost.
4d8.
Even the books will drive you crazy.
Like a d8.
You said 4, Robert?
Okay. 4, yes.
Okay.
I took 6.
Ooh. All right. So perhaps
it's sand, correct?
Yeah, to sand. So perhaps Robert wasn't too close to this otherworldly knowledge and escapes largely unharmed, but the vistas have started to open up in front of him. However, Oliver, what you've come to learn is perhaps shaking you more so than you were prepared for. So please make an intelligence check.
Intelligence. I have a regular, normal success. Just missed hard.
So you passed. So you actually, the full realization of what you've read is understood by you. So in fact, in this case, this is one of those cases where a successful role is not necessarily a good thing. You're basically smart enough to understand and comprehend and piece together what you've read. And so you actually go temporarily insane.
Oh, no.
Which you might remember you've done before, right? Because you saw that you saw the guy.
No bigs.
Yeah.
No bigs.
He's a tender flower, Oliver.
Yes. But just before I went temporarily insane, did I recognize anything from my past studies of the occult that would, like, links, familiarity, or is this all just new territory for me?
Yeah, that's a good question. So basically that core text of the book that is, you know, you've got the core information and you've got the handwritten side notes. I mean, it's all handwritten, but someone else has written in the margins. Basically the information that's in the core text is what you recognize as I'll just say occult information. Okay. Information about, aromancy, geomancy, hydromancy, pyromancy, necromancy. All of those are familiar to you through your occult studies, but basically the way that the work is pieced together, all that information is supplemented by this otherworldly information, this, what you've started to come to, what we would understand as mythos related information is supplementing, that core occult, information.
Supplementing it or underlying it?
It is, what do you mean by underlying it?
Well, in other words, am I getting some sense that everything that we know about the occult, or we thought we knew, maybe it's just like a layer of the onion, and this is a layer below that?
No, not. Okay. I would think of them as distinct sets of information that they're perhaps interrelated. But for
getting very esoteric.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, this is
my mind is hurting.
Exactly. And it's supposed to.
I'm thinking the scotch is not helping.
Nice.
Or maybe it will.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I need more. That's there you go. Yeah. Kyle's already contributing.
I think here's how we'll kind of say it. What you've, that is probably study that you, a larger question that you just started to go, you know, you've gone down the path on. It's not clear from this one book, but it's, I'll say that the sense is that it's supplementing or building off of, the occult information. But it's perhaps not entirely clear.
That I'm perfectly fine with that. Fair. I just would ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So actually,
how does my temporary insanity manifest itself?
Yeah. So actually, the way it works out is that, you know, you and Robert are working together and, it's getting late in the evening and, you put aside the book and review all the notes that Robert's been taking. Perhaps he's been writing them up on a large board and you've been drawing some connections between different characters and passages. As you've come to learn things, and at some point, Oliver, your vision narrows, and you come to realize perhaps the fact of mankind's lack of importance in the universe. gnat on the ass of the universe is man at its best. And you actually, a red mist descends and you suddenly explode in a rage of fury and you start flipping tables. And you suddenly...
Please don't have me attack, Robert.
You feel a...
Yeah. Screaming in German. Do this. Don't forget the German screaming.
What do you mean you won't trade me two wool for one wood?
You suddenly see Robert and you are furious at him for dragging you into this. He's the one who made you study this book. He could have done it all by himself, but he made you do this. And the only way to prevent this is for you to attack him. So,
any chance I got a crossbow?
Yeah. So you're in this. You're in this kind of study area. I don't know if it's kind of like a country. I don't know, servants' quarters or guest quarters or something like that. And we got to do turns. Where is Oliver's sheet? So, Oliver,
is there a Cthulhu move? I'm picturing myself like putting my hand on his forehead while he's swinging his arms coming at me.
That's also what I'm picturing, ironically. So, hoping it ends there.
Oliver.
How many hit points do you have there, Max?
Oliver, the bane of all your troubles is in front of you. Yeah. He must be destroyed. Dex 45.
Clearly.
You get to go first. What would you like to do?
Well, I'm temporarily insane, so yeah. I'm going to do something temporarily insane. So I'm going to scream at him in German. That's the start.
Nice.
I'm going to brawl with him.
Okay. And you're going to swing at him. You're going to jump across the table and, why did you do this? And
here it comes.
Robert, would you like to fight back or dodge, or what would you like to do? You could.
I'm not really that good at dodging.
You could try to restrain him.
Can I? What would I? What's the role for restraining him?
Let's take a look. So,
And by restrain he means punch me in the face.
Yeah,
I'm about 90% there.
Yeah, let me take a look here. So I'm trying to go mechanic wise. So if he's fighting you, you have the option of dodging, fighting back. Let's see.
There's no grappling rules.
No, there. It's a maneuver roll. So let's see how does that work. Maneuver.
I think I just got to take
that. So so he's going to try to punch you and you're going to try to restrain him or tackle him or something. If he beats you or draws in the quality rating, then he succeeds. If you have a higher rating or better rating than him, then you succeed in your restraint or whatever you're going to try to do.
Okay. But if I would brawl back, mm-hmm. then if it's tie, it goes to me, right?
Highest level of success wins. Draw goes to the initiator.
Oh, to the initiator.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the same thing.
Same thing.
So I should be rolling on my brawling.
Yep.
I'll try and restrain him, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I don't want to hurt the little guy.
So roll against your fighting brawl.
Ooh.
Okay, here it comes.
Oliver, you're going to get a lick in. I rolled a 99.
Ooh. I got a regular success. 33.
33. Okay. Yeah. You get a lick on him for 1d3.
1d3, 2 points.
Okay. 10.
All right. Robert, your choice. You've just been.
So I can brawl, restrain. Me trying to restrain him would be a brawl move, right?
Yeah. Same skill, but different outcome.
Okay, so I'll try and do that.
Okay, are you going to try to bear hug him? Are you going to try to wrestle him to the ground? What are you going to...
I think bear hug sounds about right.
Okay. All right, go ahead and roll your skills.
Does he get to fight back?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Oliver, you get a choice. You can fight back or dodge or...
Well, again, I assume if I'm temporarily insane and I blame him for this,
yeah.
I just don't see why I'm dodging him.
Yeah,
so
probably,
I'm just gonna fight back.
Probably fight back, yeah.
Okay. And I failed to fight back.
Robert got
it. And I failed.
Okay. All right, so yeah, Robert, you get him in a bear hug. You guys can kind of see where this is going. You're able to restrain Oliver. You know, he's actually enraged and for several minutes. So you actually have to – you go through a series of restraining him and sitting him down, and he comes back at you. And this kind of goes on for – perhaps he gets a couple more licks in, but – you're certainly strong enough to keep him, and after several minutes, you are able to keep him to ultimately calm him down.
Good thing he went and stayed instead of me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
We'd be playing three aside right now.
For sure.
I do, Ty, have a not bad psychoanalysis skill, if that would help.
Yeah, well, go ahead and roll that.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. Yep.
Whoa, an extreme success. I rolled a 7.
You rolled a 7. Yeah, that's not very good. I don't like that. Let's give another one there.
Scenario resolved.
That either.
Just pick the results you want. You're the GM.
Whatever makes the story best.
You can just pick a number that you any number.
Oliver, who are your important? I don't have the back of your character sheet. Who are the important people in your life? You've got
your mother,
your significant people,
the older person, the retired professor who I kind of look out for because he lost his job, and I'm trying to think if I had a third significant other or not. Let me go back. And
so
he's bringing his family stuff into the fight.
So Robert, Oliver, as Robert's calming you down, you start to have visions of your mother. Mm-hmm. Calming you and coddling you to some degree as perhaps you were picked on at school, and she was always the one who took care of you. But you also remember that she would turn on you at times and scold mm-hmm. you for shortcomings in your schoolwork. And for all intents and purposes, she was a beautiful woman. And this combination has manifested itself. And at this point, Robert, you start to hear Oliver babble about his mother and know, and she's too much, and I'm not good enough, and you actually start to piece together this phobia that's starting to materialize in Oliver. And Oliver has developed,
stopping with the big pink rubber thing. Please tell me.
Calagniophobia. Calagniophobia. Ooh. Fear of beautiful women.
Oh.
All right.
Very interesting.
So Oliver, if on the back of your sheet, if you can make a note that you have a
fear of beautiful. I'm not going to try to write that down. Yeah. Just fear of beautiful women.
Better than him saying coprophilia, though. So, you know, you got that going for you, which is nice.
Right.
Coprophilia.
I wasn't talking to you, Doc. It's like chocolate, only different.
Jesus Christ, I'm glad I'm not a doctor. All right, I just typed it out. It was amazing. Okay, so what did we do? We did you did the initial reading. So you got the story, you got the characters, you got some knowledge of the mythos. And you believe there's additional information in this book that would require perhaps weeks of study to understand what these rites and practices are. Okay. All right. And at this point,
am I still temporarily insane?
No. Yeah. So we've kind of moved beyond the rest of that initial study phase, and so you've recovered. You've maintained.
I psychoanalyze you back to health, bitch.
You've
like to think the duck mother henned him back to health.
That's right. Exactly. I see myself as this very large man, and I'm just stroking his hair.
It's a disturbing image. But.
Yes, exactly what I was going for.
Close your eyes and think of England.
Oh my goodness.
All right, so let's hop over to Hugh.
Uh-huh.
Hugh, your uncle, is it? Lord Tottenham?
Yes, Tottenham.
Tottenham. He arranges a... You get word that he would like to meet you with a matter of the utmost urgency.
Very well. Should take the next train into London to see him, then.
Okay. Yeah, you actually meet him at his office at the House of Lords.
Very good.
And Hugh, my boy, please come in. I'm glad you can make it.
Yes, Uncle. How are you, sir?
This damned war, it's getting in the way of everything. It's gonna break our finances, that's for damn sure. But, we'll do our best, and, I'm sure we'll make it through okay if we can keep Jerry at bay, for the time being. But, I understand, you've gone into an interesting line of work.
Well, you know, I'm working for intelligence, if that's what you mean, yes. Can't really talk about what I do, of course. You understand that.
Well, for sure. These halls have eyes and ears of their own. Definitely the intelligence part of it I'm familiar with and know about. In fact, Major Bothroyd and I did some work together on one of the committees here at the House of Lords, and good man, but I'm speaking of perhaps something else that you found yourself drawn into, and based on what I've heard, I believe that I have information that may be useful for you, and perhaps something that I could ask you to check out on my behalf, on the down low, of course. We'll have to keep this secret.
Well, of course, I don't know entirely what you're speaking of or what other work I may be doing, but I'm always happy to help you, Uncle, of course, with your position, and you've always been good to me, so...
Yeah, well, let me cut straight to the chase. Although I don't sit directly on any of our intelligence committees within the House of Lords, I certainly have friends on it, and they come to me for advice from time to time, and of course they need some of my help with the financing of some of our operations. As I'm sure you know, the Germans have been able to place spies within London in various various forms, either Germans posing as Londoners or as Londoners who have turned against the crown, and we do our best to rout those out as best that we can. Damned hard work, if I do say so, from what I understand.
Yes.
Here's the troubling bit of it all, though. We believe that perhaps some of the less fortunate here in London, either those who were previously homeless or perhaps have become homeless with the raids, the recent raids, have been passing along information. We hear stories of quite unsavory characters who are passing along target information to these German spies, who certainly are using them to their advantage on their raids. Here's what I ask. I'd like you to check in with your sources and see if there's any truth to this information. And if so, if there's a, if we can characterize how dangerous or how widespread this is, perhaps here at the House of Lords, we can be helpful with our checkbook in providing the proper financing for rooting out this dastardly set of activities.
Well, of course, my lord, I'd be more than happy to help, and I will certainly check with my sources and put the ear out on the street, as it were, to see who could be so treacherous to our cause.
Fantastic, fantastic.
I'll pass a message along when I'm ready to report back.
I truly appreciate it. These are troubling times, and we must work together to root out this menace.
Very good. The father says hello.
Give him my regards.
Will do.
All right, and so you part the office.
That was your uncle?
Uncle, yes. That's, my uncle's. My father's the colonel, Lord, and my uncle's the lord.
Okay. Lord Tottenham, yes. All right, so let's hop over to Grant Sullivan, an American in London. Let's see, how am I going to do this? Let me think here. Grant, you have been a foreign correspondent in London leading up to the war, and your investigations have taken you down some interesting paths. In fact, you were first to come across some information about, what did we call it? Falling Stars, was it?
I didn't have a name, if you're talking about my encounter.
Yeah.
I just said a small group.
Yes.
On my character,
well, that's right.
Sheet,
within the last couple months, you had uncovered a small group who was practicing pyromancy in London and had been summoning otherworldly fire creatures. And your investigations took you down some troubling paths. You came across some unsavory characters. And the further you dug, the more fantastic the story became, and certainly became to the point where it wasn't fit for publication. In your investigations, you came across some members of the military and the military authorities who put you in contact with N, who was the leader of what you became to know as Network N, and he took your information to heart and turned it over to some of his agents for further investigation. Considering that you were, and he promised to be back in contact with you, while that investigation was carrying on, as you presume, you actually were following up on another thread of information. You'd been here, first of all, you had been in this kind of this small group who was practicing pyromancy, kind of led you into investigations of the underworld, the occult underworld in London, and you started to unravel a thread of investigation that involved reports of creatures in the London underground who had been becoming more and more active since the Blitz started within the last couple weeks. Okay? So you've got one thread that you've handed off to Ed, and you are currently in investigation on this other thread, and ultimately the work between Lord Tottenham and his request and Hugh's investigation and your work on the creatures in the London Underground bring you two together. And I'll just leave it at that. We won't necessarily role-play the encounter. But basically, your paths cross. And basically, the way it works is that, Hugh, you understand that there's perhaps a little bit more than you bargained for, that you initially suspected, that perhaps this was more than just homeless. There's perhaps some otherworldly activity going on, And Grant, you'd uncover that perhaps that N is not necessarily beating you to the punch, but perhaps some of his agents are already looking into the situation. And so you guys only momentarily get a view of each other, or perhaps run into each other while you're investigating a certain part of town. But Hugh, you know that they're
fleeting glances.
Fleeting glances, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Strangers in the night.
Grant, you observe this horribly disfigured creature, Hugh Warner Smith.
I'm still relatively good.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overstate.
He's dashingly scarred.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Okay. So that's kind of your interstitial. I want to do one more thing with, let's see, Oliver and Robert. Robert and Oliver, you've had your initial read of the tome. You've gone back to N and reported back your initial findings about, the entities, the deities, the heralds, the creatures, some of the rites or the hints at rites and practices. And N is both terribly pleased, but perhaps terribly frightened as well. And he goes, there must be more. There must be more to this. Are you up for additional research?
It went so well last time.
Sure. Yes. Let me see. I have just lost any interest in women. So
just beautiful women.
What am I going to lose?
Just beautiful women.
Women that look like you.
Yeah. Right? Only the beautiful ones.
It's only the beautiful ones. Yeah.
That's a good point.
There's still lots of women out there.
You're just afraid of them.
Yes, that's all good points. Maybe Robert can take lead this time, and I can, I can take notes. Actually,
just remember, if
correct,
I go insane,
it's probably a bad decision.
Yeah.
If he goes insane, it's...
Yeah. I'm probably going to shoot you if you go insane, I'm just telling you right now. So
maybe study in separate rooms. Like a locker room.
Padded rooms. No, we should do it.
Can we share with N the fact that I temporarily lost my mind doing this research? And I suspect he doesn't care as well, but I want to see if I can milk something out of him for it. So,
you kind of play this, you know, woe is me routine. You know, oh, this is hard. I've lost my mind. Wah, wah, wah. And he
you were just role playing Rex.
He kind of leans into you and isn't quite nose to nose, and he goes, we've all made sacrifices.
Right. Suck it up, Oliver.
He backs away. The choice is yours, but I consider this matter of the utmost importance. Again, the question is, do you have the fortitude? The mental, physical, and intellectual fortitude to see this through. I can't force you to do it, but the stakes are great. The stakes are grave.
I'm in. I'll do it.
All right.
Fantastic.
Anyway. Here's my man. All right, and he as he looks to Robert. Approvingly, he kind of gives one last glance to Oliver. And Oliver, what's it going to be?
Well, I've traveled this far down the road. I need to see where it ends.
Ah, good man.
Shut up,
good
old boy.
Yes.
It ends badly, you know.
We have to put ourselves secondary to the greater good. And I appreciate your help on this. All right.
I do suspect it's going to end badly.
All right. All right. He sends you away.
Okay.
And I don't know. You're going to retreat back to the lovely estate of the lovely Warner Smith.
Hang on. Oliver has some bad associations now.
Yes. You're going to be attacked by a gang of beautiful women.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Did we see anything the first time through that suggested that we might want to cross-reference or research other works to connect this through? Like, do we want to try to find a library and work there?
No. It's the work is okay. Too esoteric to lend itself to any kind of cross-referencing or other works.
Well, let's go back to Hugh's place. It's fairly unlikely any. All right. Unlikely any attractive women will be at Hugh's place, so yeah, I should be okay.
And are you going to tell Hugh and Eric what's going on? Or you can expect this study to take several weeks. You're going to be kind of locked away.
Well, we're going to be at Hugh's family's estate, so we would definitely tell him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there could be a lot worse locations, but you'll be well taken care of. But this will be taxing work, to say the least.
Right. Do our SOE bosses just like not even care that we don't show up for work anymore?
Well, we've been seconded.
Basically. What you've come to learn is that N's been able to manipulate your assignments. Okay. And you don't know how he's doing it necessarily. Is he pulling favors? Is he blackmailing people? You know he's not above, or he's not, beneath, trickery and perhaps, politicking of his own, but he's been.
That's, okay. That was a question that I had too. Am I still going to have to turn in stories for my regular beat with the Washington Post, or am I excused from?
Just make that stuff up.
No. Sorry. Well, yeah, I could do that.
We're winning the war, no problem. Yeah.
Well, everything's fine. It's going great over here.
Yeah, it's all good. The U.S. is not needed. It's all good. Yeah, we'll have to work that out. But for now,
okay.
Oliver and Robert are ensconced in further study, much, much, much more strenuous than before. Okay. And I need you guys to both make an additional German roll.
Regular success.
Let's see. Regular success.
Really? Isn't your German like 95?
Yep. Rolled 50.
95. Okay.
That's a regular, correct?
Mm-hmm. All right. You study for several weeks, and the work is much more difficult than before. But you are able to dive into the rites and practices that were alluded to in your prior research. And you come across what amounts to 2, 4, 6, 7 distinct rites or practices that each come to have terms that you recognize, and I've placed those terms or phrases. And perhaps these mean something to you, perhaps they don't. But basically, especially for, well, I guess both of you recognize these practices as casting of spells, right? You both are knowledgeable enough in the occult practices at the least. And while these practices may not be anything that you recognize in terms of the verbal components or the motion components, or in some cases the material components that go into these rites, you recognize that in combination they represent some sort of spell casting, attempts at spell casting.
Okay.
And with that, you each gain an additional 3 Cthulhu Mythos. Which should, what is that?
I'm starting to think that's not good.
that's up to 10, I believe.
Yep. Yep.
Where is that on my sheet? Where are you?
Undersea.
Ah, there we go.
And This time you get to make a sanity check. So roll against your sanity.
What do you mean this time? It seemed like, ooh, I failed.
Last time it was automatic.
Oh.
And I fail as well.
Okay. All right. here we go.
Kill each other.
Exactly.
No, not each other.
Please do a intelligence check.
Yeah, this is one I want to fail.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa. Roll a 1D, what was it before? D8. Do a D6 this time, please.
3. Sanity,
5.
Oh, God. Dude.
All right.
Dylan.
So, Robert, you lose, what'd you say, 3? Sanity?
3.
And Oliver.
Oliver's going insane.
That's great.
Okay. You hear more German screaming.
Yeah. Roll against.
It's the soundtrack.
Roll against a your intelligence, please.
Both of us are just
Oliver.
Oh, I had an extreme success on my intelligence, so I get it all.
All right,
you are coming to a startling realization.
So, this time around, you guys complete your studies. Again, this is weeks and weeks of intensive study. At this point, you're coming across. Maybe I take it back a little bit, Oliver, in the fact that you actually have to reference some other sources to get through the ancient Germanic tongue that you're reading. I mean, it's close enough that you can read it, but sometimes you have to go back. Consult perhaps colleagues or some other sources to reveal, this ancient tongue. And, you kind of finish your research. Again, you've uncovered this, we've got 2, 4, 6, 7 different rites, perhaps warrant further investigation, but not at this point. Robert bids you, farewell one night. He goes to retire to his sleeping quarters there at the estate. But you decide to, for some reason, continue your research. And you study a little bit longer, perhaps double-checking some of your work to see if you've missed anything. And the further you you dive into it, you start to, again, piece things together that perhaps in your work with Robert that you had missed. And
I don't think him laughing is good.
You decide that you've had enough of the estate, and you gather up the Book of All Forbidden Arts. You say that you think to yourself you've had enough of this location, and you decide to retire back to London. And a short, I don't know if it's a car or train ride, back to London, and you head back to your rather nice but modest for a someone of your educational means, your educational background or your professorial background, and you are walking back to your flat, and basically you're jumped, you're attacked from behind. And you are knocked unconscious.
Good times.
Do you have a treasured possession?
I don't think I filled that out. So we can just make one up on the fly.
Oh, you're carrying the book. Why don't you make a luck roll?
Okay. Luck. Whopping.
Oh, my God.
I fail my luck roll.
As you do.
Hilarious. Okay. You awake. You've been jumped in, we've got blackout conditions in London. Mm-hmm. Crime is on the increase. You awaken, slumped over in a storefront doorway, and your cash,
mm-hmm.
and the Book of All Forbidden Arts is stolen.
Way to go.
Nice. Way to go. We kind of needed that, you know.
Does my luck also go down one?
No.
For the failure?
No.
Okay.
No, your luck is...
Is it doesn't really need to go down.
No, it's pretty amazing. No. Oh my god.
Sucking pretty bad right now.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I think somebody else needs some screen time while I get a drink.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. That transpires. I guess we're going to have to play this out a little bit. Oliver. What, how do you want to handle this?
Oh, he just went to get
a drink. Oh, did he seriously?
So that's how he wants to handle it.
Yeah.
he's gonna drink his problems.
I think Rex went to like get a drink. We can play Oliver though, we've done it before.
Yeah.
I think he'll fly into a rage.
He's gonna strip so horribly, off he all of his GM clothes. Off guard.
That was pretty amazing. Alright.
Created a whole new storyline.
Yeah.
This bad rolling.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour a drink myself.
He's going to hire some Russian hookers to pee on him. Start with that.
But ugly ones. Ugly ones.
Ugly ones. Or else we get freaked out.
His trip to his apartment was because of his temporary insanity. Has he recovered from that or...
Good question. I mean, so yeah, I mean, basically he is, his condition of kind of being unconscious, knocked unconscious and robbed is kind of the summary bout of madness, which now that I think about it, is a little strange. Basically he loses his mind for about 10 hours. He feels like he's been robbed. In fact, he has, but the attack itself was kind of, a delusion.
Oh.
He was actually robbed, but the attack itself was delusional. I don't know if this makes sense. So basically, not really. He lost his mind. Someone saw him and said, "Oh, here's a crazy dude. Let me rob him." But by that,
so he imagined being attacked.
Being attacked.
And was attacked.
And in fact, was attacked. I mean, attacked, robbed, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And in fact, Robert, you come back the next morning and you expect to see, Eric at the, Oliver at the estate, either in his lodging or his, in the study area, and you do see that he is gone.
And I also assume I noticed that the book is gone.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He's gone and Oliver's, and the book is gone as well.
So that's not good.
I would immediately go to whatever staff is around and ask if they saw him leave.
Yeah.
Or anything weird? Did they hear something?
Yeah, in general, you get no one seemed, you know, you suspect he left late at night. It wasn't entirely clear from anybody that he left, but perhaps somebody saw him around late at night, but nobody necessarily saw him leave.
So, trying to role play that I don't know what happened to mm-hmm. him, I would probably start calling. Like, I'd call his apartment, I'd call Hugh's apartment, I'd call Eric's apartment, and ask, "Hey, have you seen Oliver? Because he's kind of disappeared."
Got it. All right, so that's the next morning. Oliver, we were going to try to get to see what you were going to do. You woke up in this doorway. Your money and book of forbidden arts is gone.
The book that makes me go crazy is gone.
Exactly.
I'm just grief-stricken.
Yeah.
Bereft, exactly.
Yeah. What would you like to do about this unfortunate situation?
Well, I'm going to go to my favorite location in London, which is, you may or may not recall, my friend who's a bookseller who tends to traffic in books of somewhat non-traditional background, mm-hmm. and see if he might be aware of somebody looking to sell or have evaluated a particular book in German.
Got it. Got it. So you're going to list in his A to see if he can track down the book for you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try to fix this problem on my own at this point.
Okay. And,
cause that always works in fiction.
Exactly.
When people run off and do that.
Exactly. So. So, and this, I'm sorry, does this guy have a name? I don't know if I have. Or was that in your backstory?
He does not. He does not.
Well, your friend,
We'll call him Rupert. There you go. He's got a name. Rupert.
Let's go with, let's see here. Rupert Green with an E.
Okay.
The E gives it a little bit of class. Mm-hmm.
You might want to add that to your character sheet.
Yep.
All right. So Rupert, well, you know, he's just opening shop, on this morning. You know, let's say at this point, you know, took you about 4 or 5 weeks to study, September, October. It's mid-November at this point, you know, and he's opening his shop. My friend, Oliver, what brings you out? Well, you, what's happened? You look troubled, and then some, if I do say so.
Well, Rupert, I, recently acquired a very rare, very old, very interesting text, and it's now been taken from me. So I was hoping you might give me some guidance as to someone or someplace I might go where such a rare and old and non-traditional text might show up if someone wanted to. I don't know if it was a common thief that took it or someone interested in the subject matter, but I'm just wondering if you've heard anyone who's looking for books of this type, or if you know someplace I might go to find someone who was trafficking in such a book.
And how long has this book been missing?
A few hours.
Well, nothing like that would come my way that quickly, I would expect, but he puts a finger up to his nose, but I know a thing or two about this. Perhaps give me some time, and I'll see if anything turns up, and I'll let you know. What can you tell me about this book? Its appearance and its contents, you know. And perhaps then you give a description of its size, right, and its material, and he goes,
Yep. Yep, looks a lot like a picture I'm looking at right now. So,
indeed. Well, you know, with the war on and rationing in place, people are looking for a way to get their hands on extra cash. I wouldn't be surprised if I do get a lead, but it will take me some time. I'll have to check in with some of my stronger sources. Give me a week or so and check in, and if I hear something before then, I'll let you know.
I'd also be interested to know if there was anyone recently looking for this type of book.
Okay.
In case this isn't a coincidence.
Well, you know, something, I mean, this is kind of my business, you know, but something this rare and this old is a little unusual. I'll certainly let you know if something comes up.
Well, Rupert, I would very much value your time in this. I would make it worth your while if this was a more important thing versus a less important thing.
I know I can count on you, my friend. And with that, you exit his shop. Okay, let's advance. Well, I'll take another second here. So, Oliver, you're kind of in a bind here.
I am.
You have a couple options, it seems like. You can bring your colleagues in on the story. You can hide it from them. Or perhaps.
Actually, it might have been an interesting possibility that I could have been in the bookstore when he was there. Since I've been investigating this underworld stuff, is there a possibility that I would actually know or have found out who Rupert Green is and gone to him for more information at some point? Just thinking of ways
we could
have paths cross.
Yeah, for sure.
Inadvertently, even.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, kind of maybe jumping the gun a little bit before what I was thinking, but let's...
Okay, if you've got it all planned out.
Yeah, yeah.
No worries. I was just thinking of if it would be a way for me to inadvertently help Oliver with his problem.
Yeah, this is a little sidebar I wasn't expecting, but we'll get you guys together here in a moment. Yeah, I don't know if we need to be secret about it or not, Oliver, but you're gonna need to...
I don't think this is the kind of thing I can really keep secret.
Yeah, you find...
I suspect at some point they're gonna say, where's the book?
Let's jump ahead. Let's say that, you find yourself everybody but Grant. So I guess the four of you, including Eric, you're at the Army Navy Club. And this isn't necessarily the first time that you guys have come across each other since you've lost the book, Oliver, but at this point they're starting to press you for more information. So, Hugh, why don't you – you're getting a little bit impatient about what's going on with you perceive some deception on Oliver's part, and you start to press him for more information.
I take a sip of my cognac and put it down and sort of look directly in his eyes. Oliver, you know, I know you've been doing a lot of research, but we actually, what have you come up with? I mean, you know, you used to have the book out all the time. We haven't seen it in ages now. What's going on there? I feel like you're not telling us.
Well,
speak up, man.
Sometimes
let's go.
This is, particularly for someone of your limited intellectual background, these things can be difficult to approach and explain.
I have a first from Oxford, I'll tell you.
But your father purchased a first from Oxford. It's a little bit different.
Jack.
But,
total simmering resentment.
The book means many different things. The book could be a physical object that you could possess or not possess, but it's also a set of ideas that are timeless and go far beyond any mere physical representation, such as a book.
I may have a mere first from Oriel College. However, you're trying to tell me a man may possess or not possess the book? Does that mean you don't possess this book that we have risked so much to get?
I possess the substance of it in my mind.
Oliver, you lost the fucking book, didn't you?
I didn't lose the book. I was coming back to London to consult on a very difficult passage.
Bloody
and
hell.
I was accosted. And when I awoke...
Oh, I'm rolling my eyes and looking away.
The book was
Christ.
No longer in my immediate possession.
Why didn't you tell us this right away? We could have done something about it, perhaps.
Well, I was hoping through some of my own sources to recover the book. This is not the kind of thing that would be found at a place where someone like you might go read. So it's really a very limited group of people and a limited circle of people that might be interested in this book or capable of reading or understanding it. So,
right. Well, as limited a circle as it may be, we need to find who exactly may have interest in this book.
Apparently people who are willing to smash me in the head and take it while I'm unconscious.
At this point, Oliver, I'm willing to smash you in the head and you're unconscious. I put down my drink and stalk away.
They didn't actually smash him in the head. Wasn't he already unconscious and they just took the book from him?
Well, yeah.
All right, so you guys continue to get on Oliver, and Oliver kind of shrinks away in his chair, feeling feeling worse.
Let's invite some beautiful women over to the bar. I'll get them.
By the way, Oliver, that was some choice bullshit that you spun there.
Nice.
About the book possessing many properties. That should have been a fast talk check right there.
That was pretty good.
And
Rex, you're not a lawyer, are you?
Should have put some stuff in fast talk is what I should have done. Oh, yeah. So.
You don't happen to have any legal training, do you, Rex?
I might have some legal training.
Bit, yeah. In real life.
Yeah. and Hugh, you've had it with Oliver and his double talk, and as you slam down your drink and you stand up and turn to walk away in anger, you actually bump right into Oscar. And Oscar is one of the staff members at the club, one of the servant types. And he goes, "Oh, excuse me, sir, a message for you." And he hands you
pardon me, Oscar. I'm sorry about that.
He hands you what appears to be not necessarily a telegram, but a written message in an envelope.
Well, I open the envelope and open it up.
Ah, and surprise, surprise, it says, "Report immediately," and then N.
Oh.
And you perceive it to be for all of you.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, does it say all of us? I mean, do I really have to go?
I look at your beating. Time to take your beating.
Especially you, Oliver. So I look at him all. I said, "Oh, the headmaster's called. We have to go see him again." I glare at Oliver as I say it.
I look sheepish.
Yes.
All right, and
Robert just thinks sheep.
Hmm? Oh, hey, what?
And if you remember, the Army Navy Club is not too far from Trafalgar Square, so it can be a quick walk, even though it's nighttime and you've got blackout conditions. You know the route well, and perhaps you can use the walk over to think of a way to get your story straight before you go and see N.
Okay, I'm waiting for somebody else to get my story straight for me.
No way, buddy.
Yeah, Oliver, this point, and I guess for Robert too, you guys have completed your deeper investigation. You haven't yet reported back to N any of your findings beyond that initial read from weeks ago. So to your understanding, or as far as you know, he's waiting for you to report back. So he's likely to ask you how things are going.
So let's lead with all the stuff we've learned. You know, all the good work we've done, all the answers, and just, you know, if he doesn't bring up the book where it is, then, you know, maybe
that
just leave.
That is true. You do have, like, weeks of actual research on the solid research on the book.
Mm-hmm.
Just no book.
What do you think, Robert?
Yeah, we can lead with that. Sure, dude. I won't rat you out until you feel like you need to, fess up.
You?
Hmm?
can we just go with all the things we've learned and see what N's reaction is before we get into the technicalities of where the book
might be? He'll probably blame it on me
anyway,
so being actually... He'll probably blame it on me anyway, being a commissioned officer. So yes, we'll go with what you say.
I mean, technically, we stole the book in the first place. So who are we to really complain about it?
Digging it deeper.
Yes.
All right. So it sounds like you...
I bite my tongue hard.
All right. You continue your walk over, and you make it to Trafalgar Square. You recognize by this point... the location of, you know, obviously Reggie's books on the first floor, and you make your way up the stairs to N's office. And unlike other times, there's no unusual characters coming down, but you make your way into the waiting room, and you hear the now all too familiar, "Come forth!" Perhaps he's heard you, and he summons the four of you into his office.
I nudge Oliver hard in the ribs. Going, you old fuck.
All right, and okay, you guys make your way into his office, and there's certainly a look of recognition and perhaps, I don't want to call it necessarily joy. You don't get a lot of sense of joy from N, but he's perhaps relieved that you are here. And as you enter, you see there are two people with N. First of all, there's a female assistant. This is fantastic. There's a female assistant. She's somewhat young. She's in a military
unit. She better not be beautiful.
Oh, no.
She's in uniform. We'll call it.
Oh, man.
We'll call it. No. Call it perhaps. It's some sort of army uniform. And she would be attractive, except for extensive nasty scarring on her neck.
How you doing?
I think this one's huge.
Yeah. So at first glance, you like, oh, what's going on here? But then you're like, oh my goodness. And you know, your mind races to think of what could have caused those marks. They're not burn marks, but they are definitely scars. Fresh scars. From just under her ear, down her neck, and then they disappear below her clothing. Okay, and she nods to you, gentlemen, as you walk in. And you also see, a man. You see N, of course, and then you see a man, who is in a suit and tie. He's tall. He's got dark hair, and you immediately notice his piercing blue eyes. His suit is tailored. He's athletic and he's clean shaven. And Hugh, you immediately recognize this as Grant Sullivan, the American reporter that you ran into in some of your earlier investigations on behalf of your uncle.
Mm.
And Grant, you recognize Hugh.
Have we met though? Like have we met or do we just recognize
each other? You recognize, I mean, you perhaps have met and said some pleasantries to each other when you were doing your investigation. You definitely know that you were working on the same thing.
Right. So I do know him in a sense.
Yeah, you know him by look, by name, by reputation.
Take out my hand. Oh, Mr. What's his last name again? Anderson?
Sullivan.
Sullivan. Close enough. Some Irish name now.
Bloody man.
Some peasant name now. I stick out my hand. Oh, Mr. Sullivan, good to see you again.
Yeah, I guess they weren't kidding when they said they've got all of Britain's best and brightest working here.
Oh, do go on. You rogue.
And chimes in. I'm glad to see that you guys are walking in the same circles. That is encouraging. Oliver, make a luck roll.
Let me guess how this is going to go.
Oh, please have the book. Please have the book. No.
Yeah. What's your luck? Your luck's like 26 or something, isn't it?
No, it's 3. It's 30.
Oh, 30. Okay. Come on. Fantastic. Okay, so you fail. Huh. Ah, Oliver. How's the research going? I've been waiting to hear from you about this. Eagerly anticipating what you find.
Fantastic. There's so much to talk about. I'm not sure we could even cover it all today. But do you have a place where I can put PowerPoint up? That might be easier if I put this through. So,
but you're making progress.
We've made a tremendous amount of progress at a tremendous cost, I might add. But we really are beginning to understand how these rituals work, and we've identified 7 different, for lack of what something someone like Hugh might call a spell, that have been identified. And we're now just running down some leads on some nuances in language. It's very difficult. It's not just German. It's German told in a very archaic fashion.
Hmm. Good, good.
I am a university professor, so I can bullshit people, particularly when they don't know.
And
then I'm wrong.
Robert, make a luck roll.
Come on, Robert.
Mine is the same as yours, by the way, dude.
Oh, God.
I got, my luck is a 30, and I got a 30.
Nice. Okay.
Ooh. Nice.
Well, that's good. Fast. That's good. I see that the two of you working on it together was the right choice. I look forward to hearing from you about this matter in depth and as soon as possible. Time is of the essence.
Would you prefer a written report or a personal briefing?
This will have to be a personal briefing. Okay. We'll have this woman here. We'll have Annabelle here. We'll set that up in the next week or so. And she motions to Annabelle, who you presume is this otherwise would have been attractive woman in the army suit. But we have pressing matters. This brings us to the matter at hand, in fact. Oscar Kalb, Gottfried von Lua, and René Sell. These are three very dangerous individuals. They all have connections to the other enemy. And we have found them all in the French city of Rennes. This concerns me enormously. And he, as he says this, he walks around the desk and sits on the corner as he's known to do, as in past briefings. A couple of you are standing, a couple of you are sitting. Kalb, von Lua, and Sell have all been persons of interest to me for some time. Kalb is a Gestapo stooge with links to the Thule Society. Von Lua is an officer in the Dissentel Westen, busily looting the treasures of Western Europe, while Sell is a collaborationalist who has personal ties with several top Nazis since before the war. Close enough that he spent the early part of the war rotting in a French cell until he was liberated by his friends. We have no evidence of any ties to one another until recently. They appear to have arrived in Rennes separately. Even in Rennes, there is no real evidence that they are cooperating, but given our limited resources, we can not be certain if they are or are not. And so, just a little sidebar, you guys know that Rennes, France is halfway between Cherbourg and Nantes. So it's kind of right on the edge of some of the advance. I should probably pull it up on a map sometime. But you know, it's kind of a remote location. It's not one of the larger cities, but certainly in occupied France. By this point, you guys know the Thule Society has started to make a name for itself as perhaps members of the Nazi Party who practice, believe in, associate themselves with the occult. You guys know what the Gestapo is, but the Thule Society is the organization or the society that has some occult ties. And he had mentioned that von Lua is a member of the Dissentel Westen, and those are the members of the SS who are looting the treasures throughout occupied Europe, thereabouts and beyond, especially some of the valued Jewish antiquities and holdings that the Jewish members of occupied Europe hold. Okay. And continues on. It states that last summer, during the chaos of the German Blitzkrieg, several sensitives began having deeply disturbing dreams. I have determined at least some of those dreams had images consistent with the French city of Rennes. And he looks particularly at, I think it was Hugh and, who had the dreams? Hugh had a dream.
I had a dream.
You had a dream.
I've had a dream in the past.
Yes,
yeah, Robert. It was me and, and Robert.
Yeah, when he uses the term sensitives, you know that he's talking about what you've experienced. People who are...
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so sensitive, Robert.
These dreams started soon after the Nazis overran the city and continue to this day. I do not think this is a coincidence. I believe our trio are in Rennes as a direct result of having those self-same dreams. You are to enter France, make contact with members of the local resistance, and find out what these three fiends are up to. Your cover is to help train the local operatives to set up a fully fledged network. While you can do this, and by all means help them any way you can, your real purpose is to halt whatever it is these individuals are up to. It would have to be something major for all of them to pull the necessary strings to get them to the city in the first place. You will leave from RAF Hearn in 3 weeks from now in a pair of Lysanders, landing at a site prepared by the resistance. Once there, you are to follow their instructions until you are settled in your safe houses, and are then to put as much effort as you can in to find out what has made Ren so interesting. You may contact me for further instructions via your wireless if you find anything out of the ordinary, and updates will be required, but be prepared to use it as little as possible. The Germans have gotten damn good at finding transmitters and turning up unannounced with a party of Gestapo thugs and their stormtroopers. Good luck. And N, at that point, leaves the room, leaving behind the five of you, along with Annabelle. And Annabelle starts to hand out some folders. Nice picture.
So he was, like, asking us, not telling us, right? Like...
Which part? That about you going to France? And no, you're going to
France. Gestapo-occupied France?
Yeah, basically.
I'm completely cool with going to France.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that just Duck had that picture posted there within seconds of of Ty describing
his personal...
He truly is the meme whisperer.
Yeah.
Did you not hear a fapping sound in the background?
I'm Mr. Universe, man. I've got 40 years.
Maybe you've got a stash of those of women in uniform already queued up and ready to go. I'm just saying.
Oh, good. That's control. Would
love to see his Google search.
All right.
And so would the NSA, I suspect.
So Annabelle hands out the folders and says, "You're to hand me the files before you leave. Refreshments are on the table at the back of the room. I'll be outside if you need anything else, but everything should be in there." And I've placed three reports for your perusal in the documents there. And while you're doing that, I'm going to pull up a map. Go ahead and read those. I take it back. How about Grant? Why don't you go ahead and read the first one on Von Lua? Read it out loud.
That's the first one that you posted of the three.
Gottfried von Lua.
Gottfried von, actually I think that would be Laue, right?
Laue, okay.
In German?
Sure.
But Laue. Is from a long line of debased aristocrats, just like those Germans. Yes. The black sheep of the von Laue family. Whispers about the practices of these von Laues has been common currency of the rest of the family, and Gottfried may well be the most despicable of the lot. He, like his forebears, has used his knowledge of the otherworldly to live in a grand style, flaunting their successes to their more honorable, but never as wealthy cousins. A member of the Dienststelle Westen, his rank is largely nominal as far as the rest of the Wehrmacht is concerned. Originally assigned to Paris, his transfer to Rennes was sudden and unexpected, as he was previously cataloging some major art collections in Paris. Rennes was not previously seen as a major priority as far as looting art was concerned.
All right, and how about Hugh? Why don't you go ahead and read about Oscar Kalb?
Oscar Kalb is a repellent but highly efficient Gestapo officer, a rising star in their counter-espionage operations, and that alone would mark him out as an enemy worth eliminating. Little is known about his early history. He hails from southern Bavaria, and there were whispers of a cult operating in that region during his youth. Kalb was an early convert to the Nazi cause and a keen recruit into the Gestapo. Weren't they all? However, it is his success in hunting down degenerates that kick-started his career. Most of these early successes were against small cults or known sorcerers, and it is likely Kalb was busy eliminating potential rivals or those that would not cooperate in helping him acquire power. Anne has confirmed Kalb requested a transfer to Rennes. away from his usual hunting grounds. For him to do this is a clear indication there is something within that city which is dangerous.
All right, and Oliver, why don't you read?
Sounds charming.
Why don't you read about Renee Sell?
Renee Sell is a dangerous criminal, well known and feared in his native Alsace. He has many criminal contacts, as well as some within the Nazi hierarchy, notably including several members of the Thule Society. He is also believed to have access to several dark tomes that were originally part of the Colmar treasures. It is these that are the source of his real power. It is almost unknown for him to travel outside Alsace, although he is suspected of visiting Paris before the war to meet with a well-known occultist.
Okay. So, all right, so you've got your marching orders, you've got the names and locations or general location of the three baddies. I just put a map up, if I can move it, to give you a sense of where Ren is located. And as he said, N said, you are due to leave in about 3 weeks, which suggests to you that there is some training ahead in preparation for your mission. So you can expect, at this point you're done with the folders and Annabelle comes in or you summon her and she collects the paperwork from you and cleans up, I guess. I don't know what she does. She does something like that. And so over the next couple of weeks you can expect some training. This is related to the SOE, so remember your cover is probably going to be going in and helping out the local resistance. So there's going to be some preparation work, and then you will make your way down to the southern coast to the RAF base, and then over to mainland Europe. Okay. All right, guys, let's call it there for the night. And we are on a biweekly schedule. In general, I think the way that I'm going to have to work it is just kind of the intent would be to keep it biweekly, but I know that people have got vacations coming up. I know I've got spring break with the kiddies coming up. Who knows? You know, if we don't meet in a particular, you know, biweekly manner, we'll probably try to make it up the following week directly, if that makes sense.
All right.
But I'll send out a summary. I would like to get, I don't need necessarily, well, I may want updated character sheets for those of you who updated, especially with you, Oliver. I think I need a better copy of yours.
Right.
I'm going to redo mine because it's getting hard to read.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Get some new dice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Oliver's hilarious. He's got like the worst skills and the most used. Most gross values and most used.
And he's the guy who makes the most checks.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but since that, since the skills, the character sheet is automatic, you should be able to update it easily.
Right. Hugh has a question. Mm-hmm. On our possessions, or I guess like the things that we, our gear. Mm-hmm. So like from the last battle, I have a shotgun. I have my 32 auto pistol. Couple extra clips. I have, you know, a torch and that kind of stuff. So, are we keeping any of that? Do we just discard it? Do we keep a pistol? I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much consider the 32 as kind of standard issue.
Sure. The shotgun is gone, I would assume.
Yeah.
Hey, that's my question, too, because I have no gear. So, I assume I would have been equipped with something on the way into the.
Yeah, I mean, we'll handle equipment when you guys are getting ready to
sharp
go over.
Stick.
But, okay. Grant, for the most part, they've had. 32 pistols as kind of standard arms for the last couple.
That's good. I'm good with handguns.
Yeah.
So
keeping that torch.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it. That's good. We'll stick with the 32s.
Okay. And skills that we use this session that we successfully used.
Let's see here. So German. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Go ahead and check it if you use something successfully. No, there's no checking for luck. I mean, it doesn't have its own checkbox, but what'd you guys do? You did language.
I had a brawl success.
You had a brawl success? Yeah, so did Oliver.
Oliver.
Yeah.
In a fit of rage.
Bit of rage.
Let's see. I think that was it. Smart skills. So let me ask you this. The 3-week period that we have, how do you feel about us potentially covering kind of the boring training part, like with direct emails to Utah, so that when we get back 2 weeks from now, we're kind of basically gearing up to go on the off?
Yeah, it's a good idea. And I like that. You'll save some time. It's just going to be some rolling. Kyle, for you, you got your training from SOE as part of your character development. We actually did a session. I don't know if you listened to any of the recordings, but we actually did a session where these guys went through some training that was a little bit more formalized. I mean, the outcome is, for our purposes, is the same, but you are going to be going through some of this training as well going forward.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Well, I'll shoot you an email, Ty, that may or may not have secret things in it, so we'll have to see about that.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. If you need to contact me separately, feel free.
I love how you got out of the book thing by us being sent to France. That's classic.
No, but we still don't have the book.
Newsflash, Mr. Reporter Man. The book is in France.
Yeah, I guess Gestapo headquarters probably.
Did we learn enough to be able to cast?
You're going in.
No. So your take is that if you wanted to actually learn how to cast or how to recreate, you're going to need to practice. Basically, what it comes down to is additional research is needed before you would be able to turn the written words into something usable. You know, additional research. You'd have to get the right materials. We can arrange that, and perhaps we can, if you're interested in pursuing that, let me know in the follow-up email, and we can work that out too.
But do we need the book or?
No. Good point. Yeah, you're going to need the book.
Way to go, Oliver.
Sorry. The book was important.
It'll be an exciting side quest.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. All right, you guys.